Watch out, people. This is a hostage situation.
Oh, let me go.
I'm going to get people to subscribe to my Patreon at patreon.com/MatthewDonald. Or damn it, this old lady gets it.
Please don't hurt me. I've been a widow since 1947. I would love to see my great-granddaughter graduate college.
Quiet, you.
Oh, no.
At patreon.com/MatthewDonald, you can find bonus content for both my shows, The Ritwit and Paleobites. For the Paleobites bonus content, we discuss pop culture featuring prehistoric animals. And this month, we're talking about the classic 90s sitcom Friends.
Oh, I love that show. The ladies and I watch that every Tuesday night before bingo.
Quiet, you old bag!
Oh, no.
Now, I bet you're wondering, what the hell does that have to do with paleontology? There's no dinosaurs in that. You forget, though, that Ross, one of the six lead characters, and probably the lead character, although none of them are lead characters in the technical sense, as it's an ensemble.
Yes, it is.
Shut up!
Oh.
But he is a paleontologist, and there are quite a few episodes that have to deal with his paleontological work. I mean, you know, he doesn't go on a dig or anything, but he and Rachel first sleep together in the Homo habilis exhibit. So how much more paleontological can he get, honestly? Going at it like animals, like their Homo habilis ancestors. Link is in the description. Thank you for support. Have a good day. Except for you, you old lady, because if you don't subscribe to my Patreon, this old lady will get it, I swear to God.
Oh, I've broken free from my confines. I'm going to whack you with my handbag. You've been a bad boy. Your mother would be very disappointed in you. Subscribe to my Patreon.
Roar. Growl. Snarl. Bellow.
Welcome to Paleobites, the podcast more two-headed than Diplo Kalos. My name is Matthew Donald, and each week I and a rotating series of guest co-hosts talk about and rate a genus of prehistoric animal, be it dinosaur, mammal, arthropod, and so on. This week, I'm joined by the most two-headed person I know. You're okay.
I was like, I beg your pardon.
You're so two-headed, you're practically three-headed. Is that how it works?
Do have double vision.
That's true. Do you? Wait, what?
I do. Surprise.
Oh, cool. Yes. I have glasses.
I used to wear glasses. But yeah, like my eyes, my right eye is stronger than my left eye.
You have kind of a lazy eye? Was it like
it
one of your eye goes down?
It used to be a lazy eye.
Yeah, true. It does look a little better now. Yeah.
But like, okay, like I'm looking at you across the table from a fair distance. So when I switch between my left and right eye, you probably don't notice too much of a difference. But my eyes shift, and the farther away I look, the bigger.
Oh, like Ferb. And Phineas and Ferb, we always just one eye bigger than me.
Kind of.
Depending on which perspective you're looking at.
You know, kind of, yeah. So, like, I see you, and then I see another you on top of you, but I know there's only one you.
That sounds annoying. I'm so sorry.
I get around it because my left eye is much weaker, and I can just shut it off and just focus out on my right eye.
Oh, that's cool. Wow, I didn't realize you had to deal with all that. Wow.
Eh.
Almost looks like you have Forrest Whitaker eye.
Honestly, I've been dealing with it since preschool, but it was never diagnosed until, like, college.
Yeah, no, like, I definitely remember actually, like, I mean, not to get too into it, but I remember that was one of the first things I noticed about you was your slightly sunken left eye.
Ah.
So.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, but I didn't realize it caused so many complications like that. It's got all sad all of a sudden.
Oh, no, it's all right. It's fine.
I guess that's true. We all have whatever.
I mean, the worst thing is that it messes my depth perception, so.
Yeah. Well, did you not realize that I'm 100 feet away from you, and I'm just shouting this whole time?
Wait, what? No.
I can barely hear you. Speak up! Oh, man. Well, I think it's cool when, like, we're getting more accepting of, like, those kind of things, especially in, like, movies and whatnot. You know, like, in Godzilla vs. Kong, that little girl, actual deaf actress.
Yeah, she's amazing.
Have you seen Hawkeye that's just come out recently?
Oh, like the Marvel Hawkeye?
Yeah, the Disney Plus. There is a character in it, Echo, actual deaf actress. And this is actually one of her first acting roles. She also has a prosthetic leg, which apparently she also has too. So I don't know. Good on her for finding roles.
I don't know if you watched the show La Brea or if you've heard of it.
No.
It's where people around the La Brea tar pit suddenly fall through a sinkhole that sends them to 10,000 years ago.
Oh.
And there's a
girl... Oh, wait, no, I've seen this. This is the one that, like, yeah, I've seen, yeah, people talk about on...
It's a very screwy drama.
Yeah, but I've heard people were getting excited about it and then, like, actually, wait, is this actually that good?
It's like, I mean, like, you only see prehistoric animals for, like, two episodes, and then the rest is just people talking and going
back and
forth.
Well, that's boring.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
It's like the movie Alpha.
Where's the saber tooth? Damn it. But anyway, I brought it up because there is a girl who actually has a prosthetic leg in real life, and... Yeah, no, she, you know, she got an acting role and she's doing great. So.
It's like Peter Dinklage, you know, it's like he tries to avoid playing like actual dwarves or like trolls or other sort
and
of.
Or
I mean, he, of course, if he wants to work, he does do it occasionally, like obviously Game of Thrones. Also in the second Narnia movie, he was one of the characters there, a dwarf. Huh. And also, I imagine when he was getting offered the role in Avengers Infinity War, he's like, we're going to talk about this role. Okay, you're going to be a dwarf. Fair enough. Also, you're going to be 15 feet tall. What?
A giant dwarf. I loved it. I loved it. It's so perfect.
And I've seen, behind the scenes footage, you see him, and he's got, like, little cardboard cutouts of what Thor, where he's supposed to look down at, like, Thor and Rocket, whatever. So it's just, it made him look so huge. I'm sure he felt so huge.
He must have, I bet he enjoyed
it. Also, he's a good voice actor, too. Like, he was in Destiny, although he did get replaced recently. But he was also in the fourth Ice Age movie. He was the villain. He was the voice of the Gigantopithecus.
Nice.
Pirate. Because he's got a good, deep, gravelly, evil voice.
And then he was in X-Men Days of Future Past.
Yes.
Where he played, he's kind of the villain in that one. But, you know, they make no references to his, to him being a dwarf or
right.
Little person. Is that the
proper term? Little person is the technical. I mean, he does have dwarfism. It's a type of dwarfism.
They don't make a reference to his dwarfism at all. He's just a character, which is cool.
Cool. And like I guess like the thing like with Elf, that was one of his first big roles where
right.
That is played for comedy, but it's kind of different. I think that was early on in his career too, so I could see him more like. I mean, also, I don't know, that it's kind of a different sort of version of it. It's not like, it wasn't making fun of him, it was making fun of Buddy for saying, you're an elf. So, it wasn't portrayed too bad, I guess. I don't know. But,
no.
Anyways, good on him. Anyways, point is, you know, people like that, you can get good roles. No dinosaur-related question again.
That's been our theme lately. We're just going off on tangents.
Yeah, it's a little hard because most of my dinosaur-related questions are terrible. It's like, I asked someone at one point, Laura Owsley, who is also queer, I asked her at one point, if you could have two dinosaurs be lesbians, which ones? She thought it was great, but I was just like, where does this come from? decided on the Nukesaurus and Pachyrhinosaurus.
Sure, why not?
Because Nanooksaurus possibly hibernated because it was a polar bear lizard and lived, and also had white feathers. Like, okay, so what's one with sort of darker feathers? Because apparently in movies, lesbian couples tend to be a blonde and a brunette.
Really?
According to her, I don't know.
But she would know.
She would know. But I guess it kind of makes sense to want to make your romantic leads look different, tell them apart visually.
True.
So I was like, well, Pachyrhinosaurus, we think, might have had brown feathers like a muskox, and it lived in the same time and place. So like, cool, our lesbian relationship is between a Pachyrhinosaurus and a Nanooksaurus. Predator and prey. It's like Romeo and Juliet.
So.
Anyways, we're talking about a cow. So I don't know why I keep bringing this. Why do I keep derailing this show? What's wrong with me? We're talking about...
Not just any cow.
Yes, we're talking about the aurochs, or Boros primigenius. Boros primigenius, like the prodigy, progenitor cow. It's a cow, guys!
Boros primigenius.
Primigenius, yep. Mm. Like the progenitor, I guess is the term. Like the original aurochs.
I can't find it in my book. I have the Princeton's Field Guide to Prehistoric Mammals.
I mean, it's not really prehistoric. I mean, it started out prehistoric, but it lived quite a while.
I mean, it lived
so
for a long time.
So it might not be in there.
And it's maybe that's why. Because it went extinct. I mean, you'll probably talk about
that. I'm going to talk about that here. I actually have the exact year it went extinct first with the show. So, type is bovid, a group of artiodactyls, even-toed hoofed mammals that include... They're cows, guys. They're just cows.
Yes.
Size cow-sized.
Cow-sized.
More specifically, you say big cow size. Even more specific, fine. 5 to 6 feet, just 1.5 to 1.8 meters at the shoulder. 1,500 to 3,300 pounds, 700 to 1,500 kilograms. So this was a big cow.
Very big animal, yes.
Diet, whatever cows eat, so herbivore. All four stomachs eating the grass. Time, mid-Pleistocene to early Holocene, 1.8 million years ago to, and this is the first for the show, 1627. That is the exact year. We've documented the exact year it died. I was hoping to find the exact date, too, so I could say 1.8 million years ago to Tuesday, July 6, 1627.
That would have been, oh, darn it.
Which, by the way, I did check July 6, 1627. It was a Tuesday. So,
good to know.
I couldn't find it. Get better records, historians. Location all throughout Africa, Europe, and Asia. It was described in 1827. Pop culture appearances. I'm sure there's more than this. I'm sure there is. But I remember in the video game Age of Mythology, it was a creature you could hunt.
Oh, that's like, cool.
That's all I got, though, but I'm sure there's way more.
They do show up in the Chronicles of Ancient Darkness book series.
Yes, I'm sure like the Children of the Earth or whatever, those that series with like...
Definitely that one,
yeah,
too.
I'm assuming they're in that, yep. So anyways, this is how I'm starting my... you know, like I always talk about the stats and this and other stuff, and then I start with the main meat of the show. And speaking of meat, this is how I'm starting with this here. You like burgers? I know Steven here doesn't eat them anymore, and good on you.
Yeah, it was a tough decision to. I did it mostly for environmental reasons. Yeah, but you know, I'm not one of those people that knocks people who still eat beef.
I'm not strong enough. I love meat. Okay, I do like white meat more, which is good because that's usually better for you, anyways. Also, fish is also really good. And I think that's also the best for you, honestly. I'll eat anything, honestly, if it's fried and breaded, though. Like anything. I love calamari. Maybe not anything, but maybe not Rocky Mountain oysters, speaking of cows. Anyways,
I do still eat turkey and chicken.
Turkey is like the most bland meat. All the meats to form a whole holiday around. Why turkey?
I have no idea.
Chicken is so much better than turkey. Turkey is just, it's like tuna. Out of all the fish, tuna?
Ugh, tuna's nasty.
It's so bad. Ugh. Cod is what I'm at. Good old Arctic cod. Breaded.
Fish and chips.
Yes. So good. Okay, so...
Back to cows.
Yes, back to cows. the sole cause of global warming through their farts. Yes, it's their fault, not ours. That's what I'm saying. I'm deflecting the blame. First, people said climate change isn't real. Then they said it's real, but it's natural. It has nothing to do with man. And now they're saying, okay, it is real. It is humans. But it's not us. It's the fact that we eat like cows too much.
It's a huge chunk of
it is
problem,
a huge chunk.
Yes.
But I'm kidding. Obviously, it's not. That's not the only reason.
Right.
Obviously, I'm just doing this because I know it would piss you off. I don't want you to fume too badly, though. But no, that is one of the reasons. It also is, in fact, one of the ways that we could potentially find whether or not a planet far out in space is occupied, or is not occupied, is has life on it. If in the atmosphere and the composition we find a lot of methane, it's probably alien farts.
Ew.
But that, whatever works to find life.
I guess, yeah.
So, before we get into like the aurochs and where it comes from evolutionarily speaking and all this stuff, let's get something out of the way. It is aurochs.
Yes.
Not auroch. The singular is not auroch. And the plural is not aurochs.
I think I even mentioned auroch in a previous episode.
And you said it in a really smug, too. I believe it is pronounced auroch.
Yes, I recant that. It is aurochs.
Good on you. And here's why it is aurochs. It comes from the Greek. It comes from Greek and German. It makes it Greek and German. Aur is an Old Norse word coming from the Latin urus, meaning original or primordial. And the ox is being more modern German. That means ox. It's where the etymology of the word ox comes from, and thus the two have compounded to form the word aurochs. Language is fun. As an English major, just let me have this one, okay?
Fair enough.
So, back in the Pliocene, the epoch just before the Ice Age Pleistocene, it was starting to get cold and dry enough for grasslands to flourish all around the area, particularly in Europe, which supported the evolution of large grazers. Other species of cows made their way toward Europe, reaching there roughly 270,000 years ago. Evidence of aurochs, though, in Asia comes from India, Tibet, Korea, and even Japan. Now, how the heck do they get there?
Japan?
Like,
well, sea level must have been lower at the time.
I mean, it was. I mean, during the Ice Age, but was it that much lower?
It must have been for a land bridge, I guess.
I like to think they built a boat.
There's a plot twist.
They were more sophisticated than we thought, guys. But there's also been found in Africa, particularly in the Hoggar Mountains in Algeria. And there's evidence that the African variant survived all the way up to the Roman times. Mm. Back in the Ice Age, though, the aurochs thrived, living alongside mammoths, woolly rhinos, and all sorts of other megafauna. But once the Ice Age ended, though, and all the other megafauna went extinct, aurochs survived and was the biggest herbivore of early Holocene Europe. So, And the end of the Ice Age, though, and the beginning of the Holocene, also comes another creature to...
Gee, I wonder who this could be.
It's his man. The real enemy is man. Because as soon as the Ice... I mean, they were around during the Ice Age, of course, obviously, but they were hunter-gatherers. Once the Ice Age ended, they were like, huh, you know, we could actually settle down, maybe plant some stuff, maybe do some agriculture. And thus began the Neolithic Revolution.
Ta-da!
In order to have all these farms, you also need to have some animals and what? There's all these aurochs around. Might as well.
Yeah, they got tired of hunting them, so they started corralling them and, you know, farming
breeding them to become more like the Eurasian cattle that we know of today. And it's funny, because, like, there's different types of aurochs, and then became different types of cattle. And the Indian aurochs was bred into the modern Zabu cattle. If you remember the VeggieTales classic, The Song of the Zabu. I grew up in a Christian household, so...
So that's what a Zabu is.
Yes!
I thought it was just some nonsense thing that Larry was singing
about. It's a descendant of the Indian aurochs. I bet you did not expect that to be So the Zabu is descendant of the Indian aurochs. While the Eurasian aurochs was bred to the taurine or European cattle, which is what most cattle are today. Like, if you go out there in the stockyards, we both went to college up in Greeley.
I live in Windsor, which is a skip from Greeley, so...
Yeah.
There are days I'll go outside and I'll still smell it.
Yeah, smell that Greeley is what I used to say. Even though it wasn't really Greeley's fault, it was Gilchrist's fault. Those were all the slaughter farms.
Gilchrist.
were really just got the blame because it was the quote-unquote big city of the area.
Right.
And so, and there would be a wind that would come in and blow it on. Like, you definitely would smell it in Greeley. I'm not saying you wouldn't, but it's not Greeley's fault.
Technically, no.
So, the ancestral aurochs remained in the wild areas of Europe and Asia, and once AD, or the Common Era, began, the growing human populations kept it confined to the most remote regions of northeastern Europe. Hunting aurochs became quite common, but then eventually the aurochs population dwindled to the point it was only restricted to nobles, and then only to royals. And then eventually hunting stopped altogether. In fact, poaching aurochs became a crime punishable by death. So good on humans for trying to protect them even back then.
A little last minute, but yeah.
That's the thing. The damage was already done. It was far too late at this point because there was still unrestricted hunting. You know, like poachers, who were doing it just for the thrill of it.
Harder to enforce back then.
Yes, dwindling habitats due to farmland development and also diseases transmitted by domestic cattle. Meant that their extinction was only a matter of time. The last recorded live aurochs was a female who died in 1627 in Poland. Of natural causes, thankfully, but she wasn't hunted. But I want to say it was a cow. It's like, these are all cattle, and that was a cow. So
yes.
It wasn't a bull, it was a cow. And thus the world was never the same. And then again, it was just a big cow. We got plenty of big cows. We're going to get burgers after this. I'm going.
I mean, it is unfortunate because, like, I've read that aurochs, you know...
They're huge, for one thing.
Yeah, they're gigantic animals. They're really cool.
And sometimes you forget just how big animals are. Like, you see, like, horses or whatever on movies. Like, oh, that's pretty big. But you see one in real life, like, oh, my God. I mean, like, you're enormous!
Yes, exactly. And, I mean, you know, wolves became dogs, and we still have wolves around today.
That's true.
Thank goodness.
That's why there's people like, oh, if evolution is a thing, how come... And monkeys... humans came from monkeys. Why are there still monkeys? It's not Pokemon, guys.
That's not how this works. But yeah, like, I mean, it's unfortunate that, you know, the original cows are not around anymore.
Yeah.
And
I'm actually surprised how long they lasted. This is one of the few animals that we're talking about that gets into true historic times rather than just prehistoric. There's been a few others. Dinornis, the giant moa. It lived up to 600 years ago. Up until this creature, that was the latest animal to have died on this show. Now we're getting up there, and eventually, if the show goes on long enough, we'll have a lot more content. And the show will get a lot more depressing.
Hopefully not.
20 years from now, I'll be like, welcome, we're talking about the Bengal tiger.
Hell no, not if I have anything to say about it. I have hope that we're going to turn things around.
We are slowly. And
not
like
as fast as I'd prefer, but, you know.
I mean, like, if you look at, like, what we're doing to global warming now, we're like, our greener practices now, compared to, like, the 70s, where we just didn't give a care. Mm-hmm. It's so much better now.
Right.
We're going to get some effects of climate change. Obviously, it's inevitable. I think we've avoided the absolute worst. Mm. I think. Or at the very least, the ones we're going to get now aren't going to... I mean, it'd be nice to not get any bad effects at all. That's too late at this point.
I keep hearing, you know, we have 10 years, however long it is, before...
See, I, as much as I believe that, and that's true, could that also just be to incentivize people? Because I've heard that for longer than 10 years at this point, so...
It could be. It could be that they're just trying to get, you know, like... Climate change is, I mean, it's obviously happening, absolutely.
Yes.
But it's hard to pinpoint,
mm-hmm.
like, because, I don't know, the Earth's climate is so complicated that we're not entirely sure what's going to happen here, what's going to happen there.
Well, and
so
also,
I wonder if it's not exactly 10 years or else.
Yeah.
But they know, like, you know, 10 years.
And also, to be fair, it could be 10 years for us to make changes to us to avoid this bad stuff.
Right.
And then we pass that, and we're like, okay, we avoided that bad stuff. Now, 10 years for this bad stuff, slightly better stuff.
It's not a good point.
But, so...
Moral of the story, if you're listening to this, cut your carbon emissions.
Recycle.
Recycle.
Although it's sad. It makes me feel so sad. Like, it's like, what really can we do when, like, 75% of the emissions are from just 100 companies?
Well, I mean, it is why I gave up beef, because
yep.
the carbon... amount of resources that go into producing beef, it's outrageous. Like how much water is used to make one hamburger, not to make you feel guilty.
Yeah, I was gonna say I wanted to go to this local joint. It's so good.
But you know, if everyone had beef once a week or twice a week.
To be fair, this is like the only burger I've had for a week. No, a couple days. But still.
But yeah,
not all, not as often as I used to.
Like if everyone just cut back, not even just dropped it, but cut back, that would have a big impact.
It would. And eventually we'll get to the point, hopefully, where we can just grow the meat without the animal.
That's true. It's
we're working on it.
Really weird for me to think about, but I might actually start eating beef again if they figure that out.
Yeah, because like it's getting close. Because it is just genetic material.
It's so weird, though.
It's science.
Also, guys, if you have heard of Ecosia, ECOSIA.org, it is a search engine like Google, but the money that they generate plants trees.
Oh, really?
Easiest thing you can do. You can help save the planet by searching online.
That's true. I mean, look, God, I can't believe it's so difficult. Like, I know we need lumber, but surely you can have tree farms, right?
Right. Well, you know.
But people are just still chopping down the woods.
I mean, I get it. It's complicated. There are some people in third world countries where they are desperate to feed their families, and somehow that's the only way they can do it.
Yeah.
So, you know, we need to be smart about it. We need to try to help those people in addition to planting more trees.
I saw this video that was kind of sad that kind of explained why there's third world countries versus, like, more developed countries and why it's kind of inevitable that it'll be that way because the goods that third world countries, which I guess also I've heard is a problematic term, so less developed countries, less modernly developed countries, the goods they develop tend to be, like, just agriculture and other stuff, and that which is helpful, but like what the goods that the more developed countries develop are like microchips and like other stuff, the stuff that requires more developed technology,
right,
in order to make, and that is also makes it more expensive, which makes the economy kind of self fluctuate into those more developed countries, while the less developed countries whose only export that they can really give is agriculture, they will never get the money they need to become more developed.
They're just stuck. In agriculture.
Yeah, so...
That's interesting.
Yeah, so... There should be a way around it. I think there is a way around it. I mean, and again, it's the whole, like, you know, again, don't want to go into the colonialism with, like, oh, we need to give them roads. You know, it's like, you know, in Pocahontas when, like, John Smith's trying to say, like, oh, we'll build roads and bridges and others and cities and other stuff. And he's like, but we're good here.
Right, like, we don't need all that.
Like, we're... Like, what you mean is not like you, is what Pocahontas said, so...
Exactly.
So... But in terms of, like, the development... and I guess it's, if they're happy, they should be happy. But we should help them in terms of diseases, in terms of other stuff.
Right.
Like, make sure they can feed their families and other stuff. But, I don't know. It's a whole anthropology issue that, like...
Going very deep.
Let's rate Aurochs 1 out of 65 million, shall we? Us privileged white guys.
Back to cows. I'm going to give Aurochs...
I'm going to give it like a 30 million. It's just a big cow. I mean, it's a big cow. It's important, I guess. Without it, we wouldn't have cows.
So. I'll give it 35 million.
Because
it is a cow, but it's really cool.
Yeah.
And
I like the Orocs relative. This is what we start talking about on the show when I talk about in that World of Kong, A Natural History of Skull Island, where there's like Orocs descendants fighting off some Venatosaurs.
Oh, really? I missed that page.
Oh, it's so cool. And it probably would be able to fight it off. It's a big cow, even fighting off
it's
dinosaurs.
Big enough, yeah.
Yeah.
That'd be cool.
It's just cool. I love that. I love seeing them mix like that.
In the Chronicles of Ancient Darkness series,
yeah.
Not only do they have regular Aurochs that show up, they have a clan named after the Aurochs, and in their mythology, there's the world spirit, who's basically God, and then there's the red Aurochs, who's like the devil.
Oh,
and,
really?
Yeah, like he got like the world spirit and the Aurochs fought, and you know, there's this whole cosmology. So like there's a red star in the sky, and they believe that's the evil Aurochs.
Interesting.
So, yeah.
It's kind of funny because in Norse mythology, there's Emthula, which is the giant cow that.
I bet that's where it came
from. Yeah, but it wasn't the devil. It was like the original. Like it licked the salt of the earth, like the salt became like Gnungagap or something.
Yeah.
And then through that, it's also birthed, or at least unthawed, I guess, Buri. Who is the father of Bor, and Bor is the father of Odin.
Interesting. So, it's the books are set 6,000 years ago in what we now call Scandinavia.
Okay.
So,
that makes sense.
Riffing a little bit. But that makes still sense. Kind of
then,
its own thing.
But yeah, like So in case you want, Odin's great grandmother is a cow.
So really interesting to think about.
I remember one point in my Norse mythology story where I had like them as teenagers or whatever. There's one point where someone stubs their toe. I'm like, Amphala, mother of Buri.
I start saying that now.
All right. Well, that's it for this week. I just say at the end of every. Wait. Do it again. I'm hungry. I need my burgers. If you want to get a hold of the show, you can contact us at mattd@methodoncreator.com for any general questions to any of the co-hosts. If you want to follow me on social media, you can follow me at MatthewDonCreator on Facebook, at MatthewDon64 on Twitter, and MatthewDon64 on Instagram. Where can we find you? Or what's your stuff to plug?
I am an author. I have a novelette, The Spark. It's a sci-fi adventure.
Yes.
You can find it through Heareth Publishing, and you can find that and more of my short stories and poems on my website, StephenCCurro.com. That's Stephen with a P-H, C in the middle, Curro, C-U-R-R-O.
Yes. That's why I like having the name Matt Hall or Matthew Donald. Actually, no, there's still confusions. Like, is it one T or two? Like, who the hell names... I've said this on multiple podcasts before. It just drives me crazy. Who the hell is named Matt with one T? I'm not a floor mat. Granted, people walk over me all the time.
Now you know how I feel. How many times people have spelt my name with a damn V? Granted, phonetically, it should be a V. But my name's
a
PH.
In your instance,
it's the way it is.
It kind of makes it. It's kind of justified. Find me a Matt with one T.
I've met people with
My apologies.
It's not as common as two T's, but it's there.
I feel so sorry for this. Like, floor mats. Like, you can walk all over them. People walk all over me all the time.
I mean,
not literally. I'm talking about like how they just.
Oh,
well.
Like,
it's a self-deprecating joke. I do those.
I see. No, that's good. Okay. Good on you.
All right. Well, that's it for this week. As I say at the end of every episode of Paleo Bites, I guess.
Yeah, for a cow.
Oh, global warming. There, it got a little bit worse there.
All right. Goodbye.
Bye.